Chairman O'Sullivan, we shall forgotty with you until 7 o'clock for a programme which is unique and very special indeed, because this evening we pay tribute to a young Killarney lady who has written herself into the pages of Kerry's glorious sporting history. A young lady who has climbed the mountain to reach the summit of her chosen sport and now claims the unique honour of becoming the first ever lady from Kerry to represent Ireland in the upcoming Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia. She is joined in studio by her parents, Agnes and Pat. Gillian O'Sullivan, you're very welcome to Telestock.
Hi, how are you? Thanks.
Gillian, I suppose, to be fair to say, this is a dream come true. Or is it a dream that you thought you'd never realise?
I think it's a dream come true. I was hoping, obviously, when I was younger that I'd be able to do something like this. And sometimes, you know, I probably don't realize it as much as I should that I've actually got there. I think it'll probably be when I come home and that I'm watching it on television or whatever that I'll actually say, God, I was there, you know. So it'll be a while before it sinks in.
We never thought when Telestocker started that we'd be having an Olympian lady in the studio with us, did we?
No, and first of all, I want to congratulate Gillian and her parents, and it's a great honor for us to have you here as a guest, because the Olympics are special. They're special for us all. You know, we watch them there for every 4 years, and I suppose, like you said about Ronnie Delaney, they're all our heroes, and being part of it is, I think, something very special. And fair dues to Gillian for being there. And I don't think we ever had or will have anybody like an Olympian on Terrace Talk.
Pat, I suppose I should be asking Agnes this. When did she start walking? What age?
Oh, what is it, 10 years ago, at the age of 13.
No, I want to know when she started first. When she put her first leg before her.
Sorry about that.
I guess you might spend it.
About a year, I suppose, 12 months or so. But she didn't go as fast as she is going now. So, anyway, that, how long is she doing her sport? 10 years, I suppose she's in there 10 years. Started off as well, of course. And at the local community games, you know, and really, I don't think on the day that it all happened, she didn't go for the walking race. She went for the 800 metres, but alas, she didn't get there. She didn't come in first or second, so that was that for that particular day. But she came to her mother, of course, in agony, I suppose, and what can I do? Is there anything I can do? And Alice said, why don't you try the walking race?
And she took it from there.
She took it from there, and there, from there to this.
Gillian, a lot of the listeners won't be familiar with walking now. A lot of people driving the road to Cork are very familiar with it, because I often saw you passing old cars when you're walking. But would you explain to the listeners exactly the technique and the rules of walking, how difficult it is, and the strain that's on it?
Right. Well, there's two basic rules to race walking, and the first one is that you strike out with your heel. So, like, every foot that you put forward, like, you know, you strike out with the heel and then you roll it onto your foot, and then you have to lock out your knee and keep that straight. So while one knee is straight, the other leg then is moving, and like, you use your hips in as much as you can to give way to that movement, and that kind of gives way to the swagger kind of it. And then you try and keep your hands, I suppose, as low as you can, and to move you forward. And that's why you know, your hands or your arms will be used as much as possible then, especially like in the latter stage of a race where you're getting tired and you just use your arms to move you forward. So it's just obviously walking as fast as you can without you know, being off the ground as such. One foot has to be on the ground at all stages.
I would have thought from an observer looking in that walking is a very difficult sport.
It probably looks more difficult than what it is. It's just like, you know, once you get into that motion, it's the same as like if you were running as such, in that, you know, that's the movement of it, and then you just keep it going for as long and as far as you can. But it looks more difficult, I think, than what it is. And some people would ask me, you know, like, oh, do you get a pain in your hips or whatever? But you don't. It's not your hips that you get a pain, you know, it's the muscles, like, whatever. So it's more that kind of a way.
Every time I'd pass you on the road, Gillian, when I'd be in the car and you'd be flying, walking along, I always, whether it was hail, rain or snow, I always got the impression that you were completely and utterly focused, that you didn't know of anything that was happening around you. How focused would you be?
Sometimes I'm just ignoring the cars for them. You would have to be very focused. I mean, depending, like, on what exactly I'm doing that day. I mean, sometimes I'd be going for, we'll say, stronger, a kind of a training session where I'd have to concentrate. Other days then, like, I wouldn't have to go as fast. But say if I've done a hard session the day before, I'd kind of take the next day easier as such. So you just, you know, try and focus and look ahead rather than, you know, you kind of, I suppose, be thinking of different things but nothing. Trying to focus on what exactly you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Julie...
I was going to come back to Pat's point about Spa-Muckross, obviously, and how important was it to have the community games and a starting position?
Well, Eamon, before Gillian answers that, we'll get someone else to answer it for her, because we're going talking to two men now who probably kicked you off in your career. Tim Kelly was in Spa-Muckross, and you jumped from Spa-Muckross then, and you went out to Jim O'Shea in Ferrinformel Valley. Both lads join us in the time. Tim, you're up around minute. Is that right, Tim? Are you with us, Tim Kelly? Is it up in Minute you are?
I'm in Dublin at the moment.
Is that right? I thought you were going to join the priest or something for a while. Somebody told me. Anyway, Tim, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Weezy.
And Jim O'Shea, are you with us, Jim?
Indeed.
Yeah, you are indeed. Tim, you came across Gillian in her very first 4J into the walking. Will you talk to us exactly what that was like?
Jim O'Shea?
Tim Kelly, are you with us, Tim?
I'm with you, yeah.
Yeah, talk to us about Gillian and all her ladies, Tim.
Well, Gillian was a member of the Spa-Muckross Adelaide Club.
Yeah.
And in the start-off, she tried everything. She was a real trial. And she worked very hard, had the rest, whatever she chose to do. And she hadn't much success in running as such. So she got a niche herself in walking. And from there on, she never looked back. She was hardly ever beaten since she started walking, I think, except when she went internationally. But from the very early times, one would know that Gillian would succeed at whatever she put her mind to.
Why would you know that, Tim? No, I'm interested to know, as a matter of interest.
She was an out-and-out trier, and anything she'd be asked to do in training or else she'd do it. And there was no question about it one way or the other. Nothing was too hard or too tough. She was she was very entertaining at all times, always pleasant, and always committed to the task she had enforced, whatever she had in mind to do.
Stay with us now, Tim, a minute, because we're jumping out to Jim Shea, and of course Gillian jumped from Spa-Muckross to Ferrinformel. Jim, you're welcome to Terrace Talk.
Thank you very much, Weezy.
Now, Gillian, had she to leave Spa-Muckross? Talk to us about that then.
Well, when Gillian finished with her time in Spa-Muckross, Spa-Muckross were a juvenile club. And when she matured, she then had to change clubs because they had no senior section at that time. So she joined Ferrinfore, and I watched her progress over the years. She won the national, the regional juniors first, the Munster Championships. Then she went on and she won the national juniors. She has since won the national seniors, indoors and outdoors. She has won the British 3A's indoors and outdoors. And she has won a couple of big races in the Isle of Man. So basically what I'm saying is, without any doubt, she's the best female walker in the British Isles.
Gillian, just for you, while the two lads are on, how important was the support of Spa-Muckross in Ferrinformel Valley?
Obviously, it's brilliant to have local support. I mean, that's where everybody starts off, and it's very important to have local people behind you and, you know, to give you a boost. And like I did, like Tim has said, I tried everything in Spa, and, you know, I did hurdles, I'd say long jump at different stages, but like community games is a brilliant opportunity to give, like, to younger people and to start off, and like that, you know, they can try everything and they don't have to succeed, like, at everything. And I think it's good for, like, youngsters to start off in something like that, and gives them a chance. And you know there's lots of other people that probably could have done what I did. You know, I just probably kept going at it, you know. But it's very important to have locals behind you.
Jim, you're with us all the time.
I am indeed.
Come here now. You've been stuck in athletics all your life. You've been a competitor, and you've put hundreds, maybe more, through your hands. What did it take this lady to become an Olympian? What has she different, Jim, to anyone else?
Well, I think walking is an extremely lonely sport. You have to go out there and do it yourself. And anybody that has seen Gillian in action, either in training or in competition, will realize she puts her head down. And no matter where she finishes in Sydney, and we wish her all the best, you can be guaranteed she will give 110%. She's an absolute trier.
Yeah. So, Tim?
Yes?
It is nice to put one Olympian through your hands. Have you any, have you any more out there?
I hadn't much to do with it. Gillian, as Jim said, there was a very hard worker and a great trier.
Yeah.
And she put her mind to it and she succeeded.
What, do you want to say hello to the lads before they go, Gillian?
I do, of course.
Hello, Gillian.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Not too well.
I'll tell you one thing. We wish you all the best from Farran Fáil, Mayne Valley, Gillian.
Thanks very much.
And there's one man out there in Farran Fáil, a man even older than myself, J.J. Crowley.
That's right.
A man that has given an absolute lifetime of service to athletics. And he'll be thrilled to see the first Olympian from the club.
He will, of course.
But we would also concede that the first people that put you on the road were your friends in Spalmacris.
That's right.
And I was delighted to be at the Gleneagle a few weeks ago when your local community, the four organisations in the parish, joined together to pay a beautiful tribute to you. So I think they're to be complimented.
Listen, Jim and Tim, we let you go and thanks for joining us.
I'd just like to congratulate Gillian on qualifying for the Sydney and to wish her all the best that we can give her, all players and hope to be with her there.
Lovely. Okay. And listen, lads, thanks very much. It was great to have you talk and just tell us talk.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Thank Agnes, you might take that microphone around, should you? Come here. Growing up now, Agnes, when Gillian was growing up and when she started the walking, how determined was she? Did you know all along that determination was there in her? Coming home now, throwing the stuff in the corner and having the washing and the things like that done for her.
Yes, she was always very determined.
Sorry, Agnes, I was calling you Agnes.
She was always very determined. She found it very difficult to get a sport that suited her. But once she got it, she worked extremely hard. And as a very young little girl, she said to me, "Mummy, someday I'm going to be on a track." And it looked like a Sydney track or Olympic track. Well, I didn't say you will or you won't, but here she is. This is what she wanted, and she has achieved it.
Alice, would you ever be worried about her, like, walking the roads or in the race? Does a mother worry about something?
Oh, certainly you do. Yes, but you don't pretend it all of the time. You worry a little about her training, especially when she's on the main road. Moreover, the Cork Road, not Cork, because you're in the city and you'd hope the traffic wouldn't be going as fast where she trains. But sometimes I do worry about the Cork Road, in particular, since it's a good road, but it's a very fast road.
Yeah. Listen, Gillian, Tim mentioned there that walking is a lonely sport. How difficult is it to actually train and have quality opposition?
Well, in Ireland, it is probably more difficult. Race walking is one of the, I suppose, like you're saying, one of the lonelier sports, like in athletics. But in countries then you see like Spain or Italy and Russia and even Australia and out there, you'd often, you know, see people actually just out race walking and then, you know, they'd be well aware of what it is. So I suppose in Ireland and it's probably a bit more difficult. But if, like, the reason really why I wanted to work and stay in Cork was that I had people to train with there, and it does make it a lot easier. Just even, I mean, I mightn't train with them every day, but just having them, you know, around as well, and there's more support, you know, when you have company rather than just all the time on your own. You couldn't do everything on your own, you know, it's
Gillian,
too difficult.
Injuries. Have you been cursed with injuries? Have you been lucky with injuries? Is walking a sport that you can accumulate injuries more than any other sport?
Not particularly, no. I think it's down to the individual athlete, really. Some people are very prone to injuries and other people never get injuries. But it just depends. I've had a knee injury, all right, that's given me trouble over the last couple of years. But it's just kind of to keep it under control. It's obviously an athlete's nightmare to get an injury before a competition. I've just had an injury, speaking of them, a couple of weeks ago, but it seems to be fine again. But it, like, really what you have to do is just get constant physio, like, as in get massage all the time after. Like, your body can't go through weeks and weeks of training, like, your muscles stiffen up and whatever.
Well, now, Gillian, I know that I met you last night at the show at the Dance with the Moon, and we had a good chat, and you were talking about the Olympians, Sonia Sullivan, you were talking about the Kerry Olympians, and you were talking about various people. Well, Ireland entered the Olympic Games for the first time as an independent nation in Paris in 1924, and only three Kerrymen have represented their country in all that length of time. The first, as you told me last night, was Eamon Fitzgerald in the hop, step and jump, but you didn't tell me that he was after winning an All-Ireland medal with Kerry too, and he won that. He represented Ireland in Los Angeles in 1932. Now, the second was Tom O'Riordan, who ran in the 5,000 metres in Tokyo in 1964. And that race was won by Bob Scull of America. And Kerry Olympian Tom O'Riordan joins us from his home in Dublin. And, of course, Tom is the Irish Independence top GAA and athletics correspondent. Tom O'Riordan, you're welcome to Tennis Talk.
How are you, Weezy?
Not too bad. Now, what have you to say to this young lady down here in Kerry?
Well, I was reading about it, actually, that Liam Kelly, my colleague, did a piece about it there on February the 9th, 2010. Funny, the heading says, Gillian has ring of Kerry confidence, but I was looking looked at it now. I wondered, did you notice it? But the caption says Gillian Barrett is aiming to become the first Kerry woman to compete the Olympic Games. And we'll remind them in the office about that mistake tomorrow.
Well, I was calling her mother here, Alice. I was calling her Agnes. So listen to me, I'd say welcome to the club. And away with you, Tom, anyway.
Well, yeah, it's you mentioned actually Bob Shule there, who won the Olympics when I was in 1964. And this should be a sense of encouragement. I knew Bob Shule extremely well. He was a personal friend of mine, actually. And that before he won that Olympics, he actually trained underneath the football stand in Chicago all that previous winter, because he couldn't run anywhere because it was so frozen up and cold weather. And it goes to show, like, you know, how you can overcome these handicaps, if you like, and go on to win greater glory. There was another actually friend of mine, John Young from the United States, ran in the steeplechase, and he actually used to train over bales of hay down in Arizona, and he got a bronze medal. And so I think, you know, for Gillian to be able to train in reasonably good conditions, I would think, down in Cork, I think that's a very good advantage to have, and I think it's great to have people around you that can support you, like, and her family just...
Tom, are you saying she was lucky to get out of Kerry? Come here, are you saying the roads are bad down here?
No, I think perhaps that if you could do altitude training, might be a great thing. I see John Lennon won the mountain race,
he did, yeah,
3,400 feet again the weekend. But no, I think it's for Gillian, obviously, it's a great honour for her. And I know personally how she's feeling, because I remember well when I was told that I was running in the 1964 Olympics. I was actually over in London in the Crystal Palace when Crystal Palace was just starting. And I remember getting the news, and such a great thrill. And, you know, it's really, I suppose, you know, for Gillian, I know as well that, you know, people who grow up and start taking part in sport and sort of, you know, getting fitter and that is a dream. Like, it's all right, like, to have it all written down in black and white and plan this and plan that, but the stopwatch is probably, you know, it's the greatest kind of unforgiving thing, and unless you can beat that stopwatch.
Gillian wants to get a bit of advice here. Gillian, do you meet Tom before?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, have a chat.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Hello, Gillian. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Well, I a bit of advice. I think, you know, the important thing for Gillian, I think, you know, wishing in the next couple of months now, like, is to kind of concentrate on what she has to do, and not the important thing as well, I think, is not to overtrain, not to overdo, not to, you know, get her legs too heavy and too heavy a training, because you sometimes you can be inclined to panic, thinking that, you know, it's only 2 months away or 6 weeks away, and you have to pile in the mileage and you have to do all that. I think that's the mistake that people can make, because, you know, sometimes you can be very fresh and you can be compete better that way. Because I was only reading actually there a while ago about the guy, Ecuador won their first ever medal in the Olympics in any sport, you know, 4 years ago in Atlanta, and it was won by a walker, Jefferson Perez. And I was reading about him, that he used to, people down where he lived, and they used to slag him for his actions in the walk, but he said he overcame it and he won a gold medal. He's now a national hero. So Gillian was just talking there about people, like, you know, training and all that. It's brilliant, you know, to see a person, I think, out running and walking and whatever, because that's, you know, they are getting the satisfaction from it, and
well,
I'm sure.
Tom, listen to me. Thanks for joining us.
Okay.
We could stay talking to you all night. As a matter of fact, we have an appointment later in the year here in Radio Kerry and Tennis Talk with you. Isn't that right?
Well, Michie. Looking forward to coming down for that.
I know. Thanks, Tom. Thanks.
All right.
Tom Reardon, the Irish Olympian, joined us. We're going for a short break now and plenty more talk about 0667 1 Killian O'Sullivan, Ireland, Kerry's Olympian young lady. And Eamon, you have some messages there.
A number of best wishes and wishing Gillian the best in Sydney. Breed O'Sullivan family at Loretta Road, Killarney. The Moratis of Muckless, Mike and Kathleen Mangan of Muckless. From her brothers, I presume, family Thomas, Michael, Paul, Sister Marie, Sister Marie, Noreen, Breeder, and Emer. Michael O'Connor, Killarney, wishing Gillian every good wish for the Olympics. And finally, from Dinny and Kathleen Doolan, Mill Road, I think, Killarney. Has known Pat for many years. He says he's the most patient man, whatever that particularly means.
And Gillian, there's a 13-year-old girl out in Foster Grace Foley. She sends you her best wishes. She's a great admirer of yours. And let me say that this young lady is a little star herself. I saw her scoring 2 goals for the Legion lately, in a game lately. Well done, dear young Grace Foley. And I went to say hello to 2 great GA ladies I met in Tralee recently, Noreen Toomey of Kilflynn and Shauna Flaherty of Artford, the best of company, I can tell you, to meet them. Now, we were talking there earlier on about Tom Reardon. We were talking to Tom Reardon. Well, the last Olympian to represent Kerry was a North Kerry man. He's our own Jerry Kiernan, and he represented Ireland. And have you met him?
No, I just remember where he finished.
Well, Jerry joins us on the line for me. So, Jerry, you're welcome to Terrace Talk.
Indeed.
Jerry Kiernan, you're welcome to Terrace Talk. And also joining us on Terrace Talk is Gillian's trainer, Michael Lane. Michael, are you with us?
Yes, I hear you.
Both of you are welcome. Can I turn to you first, Jerry? What advice have you for this young lady Olympian? And you have never met her, she just tells me.
No, I've never met her. I really don't know an awful lot about Gillian other than the fact that she's made the Olympic qualifying time, and that in itself is a fantastic feat because the standards set by the IAAF are so stringent that they have to be met by a person who's extremely talented and a person who's very dedicated. And if you don't have those 2 ingredients, you will never make an Olympic qualifying time. So she's obviously a terrific athlete, and I was speaking to Paddy Marley yesterday, and he was telling me that she's a very hard trainer and that she's got great talent.
Jerry, your own Olympic experience, tell us when you took part and what you took part in.
Well,
because a lot of Kerry people, I can tell you, might know.
Well, I think a lot to do. There's more to Kerry people wishy than playing Gaelic, you know.
nice one, Jerry.
I ran at the Olympics in 1984 in the marathon, and I finished 9th. It was a good performance. It was really no more than I expected. In the end, I suppose, I was both pleased and disappointed because it really was the one that got away, because they come around every 4 years and you can hit it right on one particular Olympics and you could be over the top come the next time. And that's effectively what happened to me. It was the one real chance I had of actually winning an Olympic medal of some description. And it was there fleetingly and I got away. And I was the whole experience was a wonderful experience, but tinged with a little bit of disappointment afterwards.
What advice would you have for Gillian now in relation to the whole experience, Jerry? You said it got away from you.
My advice to Gillian is this, is to take absolutely no cognizance of the people she's up against. Don't listen to what other people are doing in terms of training. She does her own thing. Her confidant and trainer is Michael Lane. When she listens to Michael and disregards everything else, and once she sets out to get the best out of herself, not to worry about anything else, because in my experience, I didn't go into the Olympic Village until the 24 hours before my race. My race was the last event on the calendar, and I was the last person to be accredited to the Olympic Village. I didn't even look to see who I was running against, because the list of athletes, in fact, were absolutely awesome. And if I had known for 2 and 3 weeks beforehand, I would have dissipated an awful lot of energy worrying about how am I going to match these guys. But in the end, I realised afterwards that I was at least as good as them, and I gave them far too much credit. And that's my advice to Gillian. Don't be giving these so-called superstars.
Well said, Jerry. Stay with us, Jerry.
Michael?
Yeah?
Yeah, well, just Eamon O'Sullivan here just asking. What's so special about this Killarney girl that sits in opposite us?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Well, the fact is she has made a qualifying time, IAAF qualifying time, which is so strict that she has to be, as I said, very talented, and she has to train extremely hard, once, perhaps even twice a day. And, you know, you're not talking about most sports in Ireland where you can get away with doing a bit now and again. you're talking about the very, very highest level in athletics, and it is relentless, it is unforgiving, and for you to be able to match other people and make these qualifying times, you have to be special.
Michael, what exactly now, explain to listeners, what exactly is the job of a coach in relation to Gillian O'Sullivan?
I suppose you're mainly would be classified as being an advisor and trying to give as much support as you can. And especially in the year of race walking, it tends to be a very technical event. So you want to be very tuned into the techniques and the judging of the event and just be able to watch and observe and make adjustments to the technique if needs be. And as well as that, just be aware of competitions that are coming up, the timing of the competitions, and put together an overall training program that plans precisely before and after those competitions as well.
When did she come under your wing, Michael?
It would have been, I think, about the end of late 1992, early 1993.
Right, Gillian.
Yeah, I think it's around right.
Do you want to talk to
Jerry
then, Mike?
Hi.
Hello, Gillian.
Hi. That's great.
Yeah, she's getting a bit tongue-tied at the moment. She'd prefer to be listening.
Yeah. Gillian, when are you heading off to Sydney?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what plans we're going to do yet, but we're probably heading.
Would you be out there 4 and 5 weeks beforehand?
Yeah, we should be going out there maybe August. Maybe go there before we can actually go to the Olympic Village and just train there for a while and then go down. But we don't want to be in Sydney all the time either, so...
Yeah, you're dead right. My advice to you is keep out of the Olympic Village for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And it should be a fantastic game, because this will be the first Olympics in the last 6 or 7 where heat won't be a real factor.
That's brilliant, like, to know that it'll only be, like, our summer kind of weather.
Right. I mean, the worst you'll get would be maybe a 70, 75 degree day. It's not going to be 1995 as it has been.
Yeah.
So in that respect, it shouldn't be a problem. And my advice to you is ignore all these other girls that you hear are doing wonderful training sessions and doing remarkable times, and take it all with a pinch of salt.
Michael?
Yeah?
What exactly will your advice be to Gillian in relation to training between here and she leaves for Australia in the line of training? Will she be winding down, or will she come up and then come down?
Well, at this stage, she's in intense training right now. We're probably winding down next week, because after next weekend, we'll be, please God, going out to the European Cup of Race Walking, which is on in Eisenhüttenstadt near Berlin. So that's also an important competition for Gillian as well. It's a European team race walking championship that's held every 2 years. And there she will take on the cream of the European athletes in race walking, because Europe, and especially Eastern Europe, dominates race walking, except for the Chinese and the Australians and some Mexicans. So that should be a brilliant competition for Gillian and the other athletes who are travelling to that event. She'll recover from that and then basically back to the current level of training. I don't think, no point in winding down before going to Australia, because they're probably going out in mid-August. So it's still quite some time before the Olympic competition itself. Like, Gillian's race is on in the last few days of the Olympic schedule. So basically, to maintain her current level of training, should we say, as she can.
Well, Michael, while we're wishing, of course, everyone, Gillian and everyone, the best of luck, we also wish you the best of luck, because her coach plays a big part. And Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Jerry, are you still with us?
I am indeed, yes.
Well, listen, Jerry, also to you, it was a pleasure to talk to you. It was lovely to have Kerry's last Olympian before Gillian on the programme. And as I said, we had Tom Reardon on originally. You also have a date in Kerry with Tom Reardon on Terrace Talk some night. All right?
That's grand, yes.
Yeah.
That's fine, Wichy.
Lovely, Jerry. Listen, and thanks. All the best.
Okay, and best of luck to Gillian. Okay.
Yeah. Bye-bye. It's Jerry Reardon and Michael Lane there, two men. And Eamon, you have some messages before
just
we go
more, break. More best wishes to Gillian from the O'Neills in Killarney, from Eileen and Gerald O'Brien, of Gerald Gallivan Kilbrien. And message here, Pat and Alice are naturals on the radio. They sound wonderful, so I presume that's a good half ball. Congrats to Gillian, Pat and Alice, Jackie and Pauline Fleming, and also from all her friends and family, Four Main Valley, and they say well done to Gillian and thank her, because she coaches the young people at walking too.
Gillian, we're going for a break. One quick one. Bye, friends. Time for them at the moment.
I knew something like this would come up.
Don't mind laughing at all. You must answer the question.
I'd laugh it off.
See that?
Anything.
No answer, so you can take that whenever you want. We're going for a short break. 0667123666 or 0643444. talking to Gillian O'Sullivan and her parents, Pat and Alice, and our new Kerry Olympian, and a small bit of, don't forget about the GAA, I was told. News from the Guineguilla GAA Club is that they are holding a big golf outing in Beaufort next Friday to help raise funds for their big development, which is going on at their club room. So if you want to take part in that golf outing, then I'll tell you, contact Joe McCarthy. Joe McCarthy, I put him off in another Donoghue Cup final one time, and he did forgive me, I can tell you that, because Guineguilla won the same day, and fellas say only for Joe be put off, they wouldn't have won the match. I contact Bertie O'Leary. Amen.
More on the GAA, have to say it, with the match coming up. Fitzgerald Stadium and tickets. Terrace tickets, there will be three types of terrace tickets, three different colours for entry. Green tickets will get entry through Dalton's Avenue to the scoreboard in. Red tickets from the main gate, and blue tickets coming in from the bypass road. And that's where people will have to come in with those type of tickets. And anybody in the scheme, please apply immediately to the pavilion. And messages from Patrick and Mary Cassan, Mick and Sheila Minehan, Pat and Sheila Minehan, and from Dennis Finnegan, saying Gillian is an example to you to deal.
And Pat, yourself and Alice are going to Sydney. You tell me, looking forward to it?
Yes, we are looking forward to it, of course. Yes, it's a little bit away yet, but we'll possibly, I suppose, the last few days we'll get in the, we'll get, getting worried about it, all right. But nevertheless, we'll take it by ear and take it by sour. Yeah. So it goes.
Yeah. We spoke to Gillian about the sacrifices and her coach made those. Yes. Obviously, parents have to make sacrifices too in this.
Well, yes, we do, I suppose. She has a lot of road, especially a lot of mileage put up in walking herself, you know, but I also have a lot of mileage put up on the car over the years, the last 10 years, I suppose, you know, going around the country, really, Tullamore, Waterford, Cork, Nina, so forth. But that's all part of the help and she needs, you know, needed at that time. Perhaps from now on she'll be able to go on her own, you know.
Gillian, are you on any grants or anything from the Irish Sports Council?
Yeah, the Sports Council would allocate grants to various people depending on how well they do. So I would be getting grant this year, and I got one last year as well. So it does help, definitely. But like now, I'm training full time. I'm not working, so it does. You know, in a situation like that where you wouldn't have incoming money, it does help definitely.
Well, Gillian, we spoke here originally about Eamon Fitzgerald, who was Kerry's first Olympian. Didn't we? We spoke to Tom Reardon and we spoke to Jerry Kiernan, but somebody rang me today and said, don't forget to tell Gillian that a man by the name of John Pius Boland, he was Dublin born, he was elected to the British Parliament as a Member of Parliament for South Kerry. And he was Ireland's first ever Olympic champion when he won the men's singles and doubles lawn tennis gold medals in Athens in 1896. So he was a Member of Parliament. So if you're asked what Member of Parliament came from Kerry, you'll know anyway, Gillian. Whether that's any good to you going out, I don't know, to Sydney.
Gillian, how difficult is it to actually blend training, sport and reaching the top? And when you look at the Olympics and over the years, the big money that's been earned by people who are just Olympians like yourself, do you feel envious?
Well, to be honest, I the money issue doesn't really bother me. I wouldn't be, in it for that. But I suppose when you see people that have succeeded, there is an enormous amount of money involved, especially the people that have got to the top. We'll say like people that are winning the Grand Prix races and that are the champions, you know, in World Championships and European Championships. There is an awful lot of money to be made.
Jane, who were your sporting heroes? Who are when you were growing up?
Well, I think I do remember John Tracy and that would have been the same Olympics.
Incidentally, interrupting you, I was talking to him today. Couldn't come on, unfortunately, because he's stuck in 101 meetings. But he wished you the very best.
I just remember watching that and obviously being inspired by somebody from Ireland that would have won a silver medal, you know, in Los Angeles. And I think it was actually John Tracy's first marathon. He hadn't run. He was entered for the 10,000 and he went ahead and won the marathon. So definitely, you know, watching that is inspiring. And I suppose more recently, I suppose Sonia Sullivan and being a female athlete as well, obviously. Katrina McKiernan as well, you know, they've all succeeded and they've done so much And, you know, and they're not even finished yet, so they will be definitely an inspiration.
Well, you're an inspiration now to many people, I can tell you, and you want to remember that. And one man who has great time for you, he's on the line. He's a man you know well, did a lot for athletics, and that, our own Timmy Griffin. Timmy, you're welcome to Terrace Talk.
Thank you, Isha.
Now, I know, talking to you, and we've discussed this lady on Radio Kerry, I know that you think she's the greatest. Away with you, Tim.
Oh, she's absolutely brilliant. I've seen her in action, I suppose, over the last 6 or 7 years, and have yet to see her walking a bad race, or I have yet to see her losing a race, and I also have yet to see her being disqualified in a race. And I've watched a lot of walkers in my lifetime, and to tell you the truth, she's the only one I know that has never been disqualified. I think it's a magnificent feat, and of course to show it like that, her walking is bang on, you know. She does everything the right way, and she is up to speed. Out of all the recognition this year, she improved about four minutes in the 20k over the last year, and certainly if she keeps improving at the present rate, she'll fight a lot of them.
Timmy, listen to me, we won't keep you too long because you're a bit hoarse, you're roaring and shouting with over there with Mort Murphy all day. Timmy, listen, always nice to hear from you.
Thank you, Ishi.
Thanks for joining us, my friend. Best of luck, Gillian, from John Griffin Tralee. He's John Griffin, the great athlete, isn't he? Great yeah. Man too. Eamon, and you have some more stuff there.
I have a lot of goodwill messages, yeah. But Gillian, coming back to what she asked you, well, why wouldn't dream of asking you questions like that about boyfriends and things. But tell us about Gillian O'Sullivan, who is the person about your likes about music, films, disco dancing.
I'm just, you know, obviously, the way I look at it is that I treat it as a job as such, and this is what I do. Obviously, it's, you know, the most important thing in my life at the moment, but I mean, obviously I have loads of friends and family are very important to me as well, and I'm just, you know, someone who enjoys music and films and going out and everything else, so there is that aspect to me.
Gillian, you know? I must ask you this note, and it is a very serious question. All the young people out there involved in sport are intending to get involved in sport. Mm-hmm. You have reached the pinnacle of your sport. Yeah. What advice? Just tell us what they should do, what they shouldn't do.
Well, I think, you know, sport is very important from different aspects. First of all, you know, it's great for young people to get involved, and first of all, they would get to know other people, just, you know, that might be in their school or whatever. They'd get to, you know, make friends. It also gives, I think, young people confidence that they can go and achieve something, and, you know, they mightn't win everything, but I think it does give them a sense of, you know, self-esteem as well, and that they can, you know, if they work hard at something, that they can do it, and, you know, that's the most important thing is hard work.
Right, Gillian. Well, listen to me. We'll be finishing up soon now. We've finished up. Sean Hurley's here in sound for us in Killarney, our own Sean Hurley. Jane is in the reception here in Killarney, and Claire is in Tralee, and there's a Cartman, the producer of the show, and he's the old Sonia Sullivan. He's a Sonia Sullivan fan because he's a Cartman. But he's Paul Sheehan. He's just behind us. He's coming up there to say a few words to you. Paul, come up there to Gillian. You want to say a few words?
Yes, Gillian, we'd just like to say congratulations and to present you with these from all the team here at Radio Kerry, and I think you might just hold them because
I'm going to drop them.
Paul has presented a big, huge bunch of flowers.
But I think it's fair to say that the achievement can quite often be forgotten, just getting to the Olympics. It's the creme de la creme of world athletes, really, and I think it's a fantastic achievement. And this is a presentation to you from our sponsors, or the program sponsors, Quills, in recognition of that achievement. It's a £200 shopping voucher to spend as you wish, Gillian. Don't let anyone else spend it.
Thanks very much.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul, there, for that special presentation. And while Gillian is here, one man we didn't get on to was Joe Welsh from the Rift, and next Sunday they have a big day, Gillian, you'll be out there.
They do indeed. They're the opening of the track in Castle Island, so I've been racing there. At, I think my race is on at 12 and the opening is on at 2:30, so I should be over there. It's a brilliant track, great facility for sporting carrying on.
What's your biggest sporting disappointment to date in life? Have you had any?
Well, obviously you would have races, you know, that wouldn't be the most successful. I've had no major disappointments, as you know, but you just kind of come away with them and try and build on that, and you know that you have work to do then after.
What does it feel like to be an Olympian, Gillian?
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't gone.
What are you looking forward to most? Going to Sydney now?
I suppose just the Olympic Village and seeing the, you know, the whole thing. And I suppose Olympics is fantastic because you have all the different events. You know, it's not just athletics, and you'll get to see other events as well. So,
well, I can tell you, Gillian and Pat and Alice, listen, you're a credit to Killarney, you're a credit to the Kingdom, and you're a credit to Ireland, and we wish you the very best from everybody.
Thanks very
everybody,
much.
Everywhere, to the whole family, wish you, and that you have a lovely trip, Aaron.
I reco all of those, and it's a pleasure meeting you, and I wish you the very best of luck. And just while the night is in it, to all those Leaving Cert students out there and doing their exams tomorrow in Junior Cert, we also wish the individual, and especially their parents, sleep sound, because it's not worth worrying about.
And your first stop with the gold medal is Terrace Talk and Radio Kerry. Thanks for joining us, for me and myself, until next week, when we'll be talking to a panel of players and ex-players and broken-down players and every kind of a player about the big game, Cork and Kerry. Thanks for joining us in Terrace Talk, and the best of luck in Sydney to our Lady Olympian.